the rivers of Babylon. When we sat down, and there we were. When we remember Zion.
Good morning. Awesome. My name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm always excited when it comes to speaking God's word, because there's one thing I know without a shadow of a doubt, and is that the word of God has the power to change our lives. I don't know about you, but it's something I've witnessed, not only personally, but in the lives of other people. When we adhere to, when we follow, when we abide in and abide by the word of God, it has the power to change our lives. And so I'm always excited to see what God is going to do in the lives of the hearers of his word. Amen. Last week, if you were here, Pastor Steve did a wonderful job in terms of kicking off our new series, Exiles. He mentioned last week that we're going to be spending 8 weeks really in the book of Daniel, and we're going to track the life of Daniel and see how God came through for him time and time again. And so, you know, the whole idea here is to how can we live a life, a faithful life in Babylon? That's the whole notion. That's the whole theme. That's the foundation of what we're trying to build on. How do we live faithfully in Babylon? How many of us know that as believers, once we give our lives to Jesus, the Bible says that we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? That means that our citizenship status has changed. Yes, you might be living in the United States of America. You might be a citizen of the United States of America. But guess what? Once you become a believer, once you've put your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ, you are now also a citizen of heaven. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. You are also now a citizen of heaven. And what that means is that your allegiance is supposed to be to heaven first. Your allegiance is supposed to be to Christ first. And out of that flows everything else. And so, you know, when you see things happening in our culture and our society today, it indeed can feel as though we're living in a foreign country. It can feel as though we're living in a foreign land. And therefore, we feel as though we are exiles. And so if we're exiles, the question is, how can we live faithfully? And Pastor Steve did a wonderful job in terms of giving us 3 points last week. He says that if we're going to live faithfully in Babylon, first, we have to know who God is. Secondly, we have to know who we are. And thirdly, we have to know what our calling is. Amen? And so today we're going to continue, and we're going to track the life of Daniel in Daniel chapter 2. But before I do that, I just want to give you a quick summary of where we are in Daniel chapter 2, the first 10 verses, and then we'll pick it up in verse 10. You see, in chapter 2, we see where King Nebuchadnezzar had a very disturbing dream. It was so disturbing that the Bible says that he lost sleep over that dream. And how many of us know that a king really doesn't want to lose sleep? All right. And so what he did is that he called all his astrologers, he called all his magicians, he called all his sorcerers together, he called all his wise men together for them to interpret the dream. But he said, for me to trust the interpretation of the dream, I'm not going to tell you what the dream is. You need to tell me what the dream is, as well as the interpretation of the dream. And it was only then that he was going to trust the interpretation. Do you see? And so we're going to pick it up in verse 10. Daniel chapter 2, verse 10 says, "The astrologers answered the king, 'There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanters or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans.' This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. So the decree was issued to put all the wise men to death. And the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officers, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friend Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this matter, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you and have made known to us the dream of the king." Now, that's a powerful passage. Today, we're just going to talk about the introduction of this passage. Next week, I encourage you to come back to see the conclusion of this issue here. But we want to just deal with the substance of what is presented here to us. So here it is that we have King Nebuchadnezzar. As we said before, he had a very disturbing dream. And we see how God came through for Daniel. In other words, Daniel, as he sought God to reveal the matter to him, he was a witness of God's revelatory power. He was a witness of God's might. He was a witness of God's power. And the reality is, I can just imagine that Daniel, as a boy, he must have heard of the stories of when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, how God led them through the wilderness and provided for them, how God fought the battles for the children of Israel, and how he led them into the promised land. He must have heard of those stories. And yet now he's in exile, and he's wondering, he has to be wondering, is God going to come through for us this time? You see, he looked back at the past, and he's concerned, God, are you going to come through for us this time? And so, as he prays to God, as he seeks God, he was a witness of God's power in his day. And how many of us know that God wants to reveal things to us in this day and this age? He wants to come through for us. Amen? But in order for us to do that, in order for us to experience the wisdom and the power of God, in order for us to experience the revelatory power of God, there are certain things that we must adhere to. And that's what we want to unpack this morning. Amen? To live as witnesses in Babylon, to live as witnesses in our culture, to impact our culture and our day, the first thing that we must do is that we must recognize God's revelation. We must recognize God's revelation. You see, if you look at verse 11 with me, the Bible says here, these are the astrologers and that are responding to the king. Here it says, what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. In other words, the king had made a request, and to these astrologers, this was an impossible request. This was an unreasonable request. In other words, they were saying, King, what you're asking, that's too difficult for us. In fact, no other king has ever asked this before. You're being ridiculous in what you ask. But the king wouldn't relent. He was resolved to get the answer. And when the king brought this to the astrologers, the astrologers recognized the limits to their ability and their knowledge. They understood that what the king asked was too difficult. What the king asked, only God could do this. Amen? And in order for us to experience and witness and see God operate in our world, and in order for us, God, to use us, we first have to acknowledge that we are limited in what we know and what we can do. Do you see that? What's fascinating here is that sometimes as followers of Jesus Christ, we tend to depend on other things for revelation. But let me not get ahead of myself here, but what I want to bring across to you this morning is that this dream was too important to the king for him to get the interpretation wrong. It was so disturbing that he lost sleep And for the king, this was too important for him to get wrong. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There are some things in your life that is so important, that is too important for you to risk getting it wrong. And therefore, you can't trust your own abilities and strength. You have to realize that there are limitations there. And so the question is, where do we go for knowledge and wisdom as it relates to our future, our destiny, and our purpose? Before we answer that question, though, the bigger question is, Pastor, I hear you talking about revelation, but what is revelation? Revelation simply means removing the veil. That is all it means. In other words, there is something hidden from you. There is something that you can't see, right? And it takes someone else coming and lifting that veil in order for you to see it clearly. But when it comes to the revelation of God, you can't receive revelation from God through ordinary means. It must come from the Spirit of God. Let me give you an illustration to show you what I'm talking about. If I'm searching for a metal coin and it's hidden in the ground, I can use a metal detector and just hover over the surface, scan the surface of the ground. The metal detector will go off, ping, 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 ping. And all I have to do is to dig up where the metal detector says it is, and I'll find the coin, yes? Simple. Now, if I'm searching for $100, just pretend with me this is $100. And it's buried in the ground. There's no metal detector that I can use to scan the surface to detect the $100. And guess what? The $100 is more valuable than the 25 cents. In order for me to find this more valuable object, someone has to literally point to where it is. And if I don't have the tools or equipment, that person has to dig it out for me. In other words, I couldn't use an ordinary metal detector to detect something that is more valuable. In other words, our own senses and our own abilities can't detect the things of the Spirit. Work with me here. The Spirit of God has to reveal it to you. He has to open up your mind. He has to open up your heart. And he has to literally put it in you in order for you to see the revelation of God. Amen? Here's what Daniel says in verse 22. He says, he reveals the deep. There's some things that is buried so deep that you can't see it. You can't even detect it. He says, he reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells in him. The psalmist in Psalm 139 verse 2, he says, you know where I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts afar off. In other words, God even knows the things that you're about to think even before you think them. Okay, I'll let that sink. And the reality is that if we are going to be witnesses, we have to realize that, listen, our abilities and our knowledge and our wisdom and our power, they are limited. And therefore, it takes God to reveal certain things to us. It takes God to reveal his purposes to us so that we might accomplish them in this world. Amen? Secondly, not only is it important for us to recognize God's revelation, it's important for us to rely on God's revelation. It's one thing to see a thing. It's another thing to trust a thing. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to observe a thing. It's another thing to throw yourself on it. Yes? Look with me in verse 18. It says here, after Daniel had gone to the king and realized what was happening, the Bible says that he requested more time of the king. And when he did that, he went back to his house and he pleaded. And this is what he says to his friends. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Do you see what is happening here? Daniel is not only going to rely on God to reveal the mystery, he's going to rely on what God has revealed about the mystery. In other words, he's not only putting his hope in God to reveal, he's also going to trust what God has revealed. Oh, you don't want to talk to me this morning. Many of us, we go to God to seek answers for the situations in our lives. And God is willing and he's ready to reveal it to us. But the question is, do you trust what he has revealed? Daniel is relying on God to reveal, and he's going to also trust what God has revealed. Amen? Now, what is interesting about all of this is that the king had an impossible request. He had an impossible task. And the Bible says that he went to his wise men to interpret and to reveal what the dream is. But notice that Daniel and his friends did not hear about the request. Daniel heard about it when they were going to execute him. And Daniel said, hey, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? What is going on here? In other words, the king wasted a lot of time asking the wrong man to do the right job. And quite often in our lives, we can waste a lot of time when we are in the wrong place trying to do the right thing. In other words, if you are not, but if you look at chapter 1, the Bible says Daniel was gifted in the interpretation of dreams and vision. That means that Daniel had gifts and Daniel had talents in him that made him the right person for the king's request. And what I want to say to you this morning is that sometimes God is going to place you in a position that seems impossible. But guess what? God has equipped you to do the task that is presented before you. Amen? As a believer, you don't want to waste time doing the wrong things. You want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. Amen? At the right time, in the right way. Daniel was the right man for the job. But one thing I love about Daniel here is that as much as Daniel went to his friends and they spoke and they discussed everything, look at what Daniel said. He urged them to plead for mercy. He urged them to what? Plead for mercy. You see, the secret to Daniel's power, the secret to Daniel's gift was not in his friends. The secret to Daniel's gift was not in his knowledge. The secret to Daniel's gift was in his prayer life. In other words, prayer is the gateway to God's revelation. I want you to see that Daniel's life, there wasn't a day in Daniel's life where he wasn't praying to God. In fact, the Bible said he prayed to God 3 times daily. In other words, he cultivated such a close relationship with God through prayer that God was going to reveal the thing to him. There's some things that you will never know about my wife. Why? Not because she doesn't trust you. It's because, you know, as a husband, I spend a lot of time with her. As a husband, I'm close to her. As a husband, I'm constantly communicating with her. And so, therefore, she's going to reveal some things to me because we're in communion. Yes? Let me give you a principle here. God will reveal things to those who are close to him. Whew, that was good. I feel like preaching right now. And the way you develop, the way you cultivate that closeness, the way you cultivate that intimacy is in prayer. See, God wants to reveal things to us. But more often than not, you know, we think that we can do it on our own abilities. We think that we can do it on our own strength. But guess what? God wants to reveal things to us through prayer and through his Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Paul tells us this, says it to us this way. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived, right? The things God has prepared for us who love him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. In other words, God has something specific for you to do. God has plans and purposes for your life. But in order for you to seek it, in order for you to uncover it, in order for you to unpack it, ladies and gentlemen, we must seek God in prayer. Amen? And so let me encourage you this week, and let me encourage you for the rest of your journey here on earth. As the song, as David was singing, you know, if I'm not dead, he's not through with me yet, right? Let me encourage you that as you're continuing in your Christian journey, let us spend time in the Word of God, but let us also spend time in prayer with God. Amen? Because he wants to reveal things to you, but it's not a quick thing. It's something that has to be cultivated through prayer. Amen? Amen? The last thing I want to share with you this morning is that if we are to be witnesses in Babylon, not only do we have to recognize God's revelation, not only do we have to rely on God's revelation, but we also have to respond to God's revelation. It's one thing to see. It's another thing to depend on. But how you respond is critical. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you've spent all your time, all your efforts, finding a gift for a person, and you deliver the gift? And when you deliver the gift, the person's response is so bland, it's so... Exactly. That you're like, oh my goodness, the least he could say is thank you. I'm not looking for you to praise me or anything like that, but my goodness, at least say thank you. Have you ever been there? Okay, I'm the only one. Right? Right? In other words, the response is important. Hello? Look at what happened to Daniel. The Bible says in verse 19 that during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And had I had more time, I would just unpack what vision means, but I'll leave that alone. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his." Do you see what happened here? When Daniel received the mystery, when Daniel received the revelation, he praised God. That is the response. Amen. But let me show you. The NIV translates this word praise, and that's a good translation. But if you go to the original word for this word praise, you will see that in the original language, that word praise really means one who is on their knees in a posture of prayer. Ooh, that's powerful. You see, because it's important. Because it's not only that Daniel just jumped up and was praising God. In fact, Daniel was on his knees praising God. Do you see what has happened? So look at the movement here. Daniel is on his knees as he goes to God in prayer, and Daniel falls on his knees as he received the answer to his prayer. Ooh, that is deep right there. You see, what we're really talking about here is worship. In other words, worship is our response to God's revelation. You see, let me tell you, worship is not something that can be pumped up. Worship is not something that can be forced. Worship, like water, is something that flows. Oh, you don't want to talk to me. And it flows not from something that is empty. Worship flows from someone who is full. So worship flows from a heart that recognizes God's revelation. Worship flows from a heart that relies on God's revelation. Worship flows from a heart that is full of gratitude for what God has done and for who God is. Worship flows. It flows. It is not something that you can drum up. It is not something that you can, I'm going to pull that out of you. No, worship is something that you give freely. Worship is our natural response. Worship is our natural response to the things and the beauty and for what God has done in our lives. In other words, when God comes through for us, we can't help but to worship. When God answers our prayer, we can't help but to praise. When God does something for us, we can't help but to lift up his name. That's what worship is. So the question is this morning, how are you responding to God? Do you even see that it is God who is working in your life? Question is, who are you trusting? Daniel says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and power are his. See, quite often we trust so many other things, rely on so many other things except God when it comes to revelation, don't we? Some of us, we are relying on social media. Some of us, we're relying on horoscopes. Some of us, we're relying on zodiac signs. Some of us, we're relying on psychics. Some of us, we're relying on palm reading. Some of us, we're relying on our friends. We're relying on so many other things except God. And as I said before, there are some things that are too important to risk getting wrong. Your future is important. Your purpose is important. Your family is important. Amen? And you can't afford to get it wrong. So this morning, if you need wisdom and knowledge, your best bet is to go to the source of that. Amen? And guess what? As children of God, we have access to that source. Amen? As I close, Daniel received a powerful revelation from God. Look at that. Here's the king who said, I don't want you to only tell me the interpretation of the dream. I want you to tell me the dream. That's impossible. And yet God did it. Hello? Yet God did it. So that was a wonderful revelation from God. But you know what? And for many of us, God is going to reveal to us our purpose. God is going to reveal to us our destiny. God is going to reveal to us our gifting. He's going to reveal to us our calling. But let me share something with you. More important than your gift, more important than your calling, more important than your future is that you receive a revelation of who Jesus is. Because you know what? Jesus is God's revelation to us. Oh, you don't want to talk to me this morning. You see, man was trying to find God through all sorts of religion. Man was trying to find God through worshiping wood and worshiping clay and worshiping idols and everything like that. But God says, listen, you can't find me the way you think. You can't find me with your natural self. I have to show up and reveal myself personally to you. And that's what he did in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you see? And so, more important than your husband. Ooh. More important than your career. More important than your house. More important than your bank account is that you receive a revelation of who Jesus is. Hello, somebody. And just like Daniel and his friends recognized, relied on, and responded to God's revelation then, guess what? We too, in this time, we need to recognize, we need to rely on, and we need to respond to Jesus. For us to live, we have to respond to Jesus. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Says, enter through the narrow gate. For broad is the gate, and for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. What Jesus here, this is Jesus speaking, he's describing the typical, the natural way of man. Many find the broad way, many find the wide way. But he says, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. See, we're not just looking for happiness, folks. We're not just looking for a next quick fix. We're not just looking for more money in the bank. We are actually looking for life. That is what we're looking for. And it is found only in Jesus. And look what he says. And only a few find it. Only a few. And so this morning as we wrap up, the question is, have you found him? The question is, as we're thinking about what God's revelation mean, the question is this morning, have you recognized Jesus? Not only have you recognized him, but have you put your trust in him? Not only have you put your trust in him, but have you responded to him in the right way? We're looking for life this morning, and it is found only in Jesus Christ. Amen? Could we stand? I don't know where you are this morning, but God knows. He knows the deep and hidden things. Nothing is hidden from Him. I don't know, but He knows. And so I don't know where you are on that spectrum. You might be here this morning and you're searching and you're seeking. Guess what? Jesus is here. You might be here this morning and you know what? You're wavering in your trust. You know, life has knocked you in left and to the right and you're wavering in your trust. May I encourage you this morning to lay hold of your faith and put it, anchor it in Jesus Christ. And there's some of us here this morning, we haven't responded to Jesus the right way. We have not cultivated that heart of gratitude. We have not cultivated that lifestyle of praise. And God wants to do that in our hearts this morning. And so wherever you are on that spectrum, can I pray for you? Could you bow your heads? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you because you're able to change our hearts and our lives. God, you revealed mysteries to Daniel, and therefore his life and his friends' lives were saved. But God, today you have revealed Jesus to us so that our lives too can be saved. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask, oh God, that if there are those of us here this morning that have not seen you, I pray, God, that you reveal yourself to us this morning. If there are those of us this morning who we are wavering in our faith, we're wavering in our trust, we're putting our hope, we're putting our trust, we're relying on so many other things. Father God, will you sever those other connections, God? And will you help us? Will you, oh Father God, inspire us, motivate us, challenge us to put our faith and our trust in you? And God, may we cultivate a lifestyle of worship. God, life might be coming to us not the way we want it, but God, let us worship. God, life might be happening the way and unfolding the way we want it. Let us worship. God, we might be sick in our bodies. We can worship. God, we might be able to lift our... We can worship. I pray to God that whatever situation we find ourselves in, that we will worship and praise you. Father God, thank you for your work in our hearts this morning. Thank you for teaching and instructing us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.